Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe helps you see how you can experience the richness and fullness of a life lived in God's presence. That's coming up in just a moment. But first, it's hard sometimes to know what God's will is for your life. That's why we want to send you a 5-message series by the Briscoes to help you discover and live out God's purpose for you every day. It's a new Bible teaching called God's Will for My Life. And it's our way to say thanks for your gift this month to help more people hear powerful truths from God's Word through this broadcast. Your support is vital to keep this program going strong. So call today to give and request your copy of God's Will for My Life. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with his message, What Do You Want Me to Do, God?
On my first trip to America, I was preaching in a church in Albany, New York, and I was staying in a large home where an elderly widow lady lived, and they'd put me in there for the week. This old lady came to the service one night, and then we went back to her house, and we had a cup of something or other before bedtime, and she said, I didn't like what you said this evening. So I said, oh, what was it you didn't like about it? She said, it was very demanding. It seemed that you were saying that God is really demanding a lot of us, and I didn't like that at all. So I said, well, let me point out to you what Romans chapter 12 says. And so I read that to her, and I said, now, if you have any difficulty and feel that God is too demanding, let me suggest to you that you're deficient in your understanding of the mercies of God. If you really understand the mercies of God, you'll see that his request is perfectly reasonable. In fact, the only unreasonable thing is to think that God's request is unreasonable. Now then, all you need to do is work your way through the first 11 chapters of Romans and refresh yourself about the mercies of God. Well, she didn't look particularly impressed with that suggestion. I went to bed. Next morning, I came down for breakfast. She was sitting there looking decidedly bleary-eyed. She said, I didn't sleep a wink last night, and it was your fault. Well, I said, I'm terribly sorry. What did I do to cause you a sleepless night? She said, you told me to get out my Bible and get out a yellow legal pad and study the first 11 chapters of Romans. She said, for the first time in my life, I did it. And I didn't get to bed last night, and I just want you to know something. I have been overwhelmed by the mercies of God, and for the first time in my life, I'm willing to make a happy, joyful sacrifice of all that goes to make me, me, to him. I've given him what's his and wasn't mine anyway. So if you're having trouble here, folks, there's a very simple remedy. Bible, yellow legal pad, sleepless night, and the mercies of God in Romans chapters 1 through 11. And I'll tell you something. Some of you will do it, and most of you have already dismissed it. Some of you will do it, and most of you have already dismissed it. Now look at the second thing here. The question is, God, what do you want me to do? Well, yeah, we've answered the first one. He wants us to engage in true worship. And he's explained what that is. Now here's the second one, verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this age, actually, is the term. Now, just a word of explanation here. In biblical thought, there are two ages. One is called this present evil age, and the other one is called the age to come. This present evil age started when our forefather and our foremother, that never sounds right, does it? But our forefather and our foremother decided to take matters into their own hands, and they rebelled against God, and something called the fall happened. When the fall happened in human history, what happened was that the original perfection of God's creation was warped and twisted and marred, and that was the introduction of something called the present age. Now, we still live with the consequences of the fall. If you don't believe me, listen to the news. If you don't believe me, read the papers. If you don't believe me, look at your neighbor's lives. And then, if you have the courage, look into the machinations of your own heart, and you'll see the consequences of the fall. And all this fallenness has constituted an attitude, a prevailing atmosphere that we call this present evil age, that is antipathetic at worst, or apathetic to God. It really doesn't want God to be God. It is the prevailing atmosphere of this present evil age, and it's where we live. And the consequences of it are abundantly evident on every hand. Now, in addition to the present evil age, the Bible talks about the age to come. Or another term for the age to come is the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches that one day the kingdom of God will prevail over this present evil age. And this prevailing actually has started. The coming of the age to come was announced when the Lord Jesus arrived on this earth. And through his life and his death and his resurrection and a transforming work of the Holy Spirit, he is now changing people's lives. And in changing their lives, he's changing the orientation, he's changing the atmosphere, so that in the midst of the present evil age, you will see evidences of the coming age. And we now live, those who are Christians, live in an area of tension. This may help you to understand why life gets so tense at times. If you're a Christian, you have become intentionally a member of the age to come. But you live out that age to come lifestyle in this present evil age. And the two are in tension. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul says God wants us to do. He wants us to recognize that as members of the age to come, living in this present evil age, it's all too easy for us to conform to this present age. When in actual fact, we are called to belong to the age to come. Therefore, if we ask God, what do you want me to do? He says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to engage in true worship. That's one. And two, I want you to resist conforming to this present evil age. One of the modern translations of this verse says, don't allow this present evil age to press you into its mold. Now, I'm not into gourmet cooking. I'm not into any kind of cooking except microwave. But I have observed that sometimes it is possible to make a jello, and you get some stuff and you pour some hot water on it, and then you pour this gooey sort of liquid into a mold. And you let it go cold, then you tip it upside down, and what you poured in comes out shaped by the mold into which you put it. Am I right so far? I realize I'm totally over my head at this particular point. The liquid has been pressed into the mold. What we've got to be aware of is this. We live in a present evil age where its philosophies and its attitudes and its priorities are abundantly evident wherever we turn. And we're called to live here not as members of this present evil age, but as members of the age to come. But if we're not on our guard, we will find that the attitudes and the aspirations and the priorities and the atmospheres of the environment in which we live shape us more than we're shaped by the age to come.
More teaching from Stuart and Jill Briscoe is coming up, so stay with us. Did you know you can find more life-giving content from the Briscoes at TellMeTheTruth.org and on the Tell Me the Truth app? There, you can sign up for daily devotionals, watch videos, read blogs, and access a variety of other resources to help you experience life. And while you're there, you can also request this month's featured resource as thanks for your gift of support to help share the abundant life Jesus offers with more people around the world. Visit us online or download the app today and experience life with Telling the Truth. Now, back to Stuart with more of his message on Telling the Truth.
One of the reasons that the Church of Jesus Christ in America, which is so powerful numerically, is so weak morally, is very simply this, that we're not doing what he asked us to do, which is to resist being pressed into the mold of this present evil age. To put it very, very simply, many people who profess to be Christians are unrecognizable as Christians, except for the fact that they go to church occasionally. What he's looking for is a life that is lived sacrificially as true worship and a life that is lived resistant to being conformed to this present evil age. What do you want me to do, God? He said, well, there's two things. There's a third, of course. Read on. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we are not to be conformed, we are to be transformed. If we're not to be conformed, we are to be transformed. The word transformed here is a fascinating word in the original language in which the Romans was written, that is Greek. And the Greek word has found its way almost unchanged into the English language. We don't use it very often. The word is metamorphosis. When we get a creepy, crawly little bug, and one day we see it sort of hanging on a branch of a tree, and then it begins to curl back its creepy, crawly, buggy exterior, and out comes a butterfly, that is a metamorphosis. The change of form. The change of form from a very unattractive little grubby exterior into a beautiful butterfly that flutters by. We see a metamorphosis. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, don't be pressed into the mold of this present age, but be metamorphosized, transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. In other words, you live in an environment where external things compress you into their mold. Instead of being conformed by external forces, be transformed by internal renewal. Instead of being conformed by external forces, be transformed by internal renewal. What is this internal renewal? It is the renewing of our minds. Now, this is particularly significant in the Epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 1 starts out by an explanation of what has happened to the human race. And one of the things that has happened to the human race is that we suffer from depraved minds. That's what it says in Romans 1. We suffer from depraved minds. So we've got a problem. We live in the present evil age that puts pressure on us, and we've got a depraved mind that is in sync with the present evil age. And if we've got an internal mind that is depraved and external forces that are evil, guess what? We've got two strikes against us. There's a third one, but I don't have time to get into it right now. What is needed, therefore, if we're to live as we're intended to live, is that there be a renewing of our minds. The renewing of our minds comes through the intake of revealed truth. The intake of revealed truth. If I know what it is to accept God's word as revealed truth, if I know what it is carefully, meticulously to read it, mark it, learn it, inwardly digest it, believe it, and do it, I'll promise you something. Your mind will be changed. You will find the old principle that computer experts have told us is true. Garbage in, garbage out. If you are simply imbibing the cacophony of noises and aspirations and priorities and principles of this present evil age, if that is your input, that will be your output. To counter it, there needs to be the careful, meticulous input of revealed truth, so you get a renewed mind, and when you get a renewed mind, your behavior changes from the inside out. What do you want me to do, God? He said, well, I can give you three things without even thinking about it. Number one, I want you to engage in true worship. Number two, I want you to resist being conformed into the pattern of this present evil age. And number three, I want you to make absolutely certain that your mind is being constantly renewed so that you're being transformed from the inside out. Well, what's going to happen if I do all this, God? He said, well, I'm glad you asked. This is what will happen. Then, when you do all this, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do you prove God's will? How do you experimentally discover what it is? And the answer is by doing what he's asked you to do. What's he asked you to do? He's asked you to engage in true worship, not to be conformed to this present age, and to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will experimentally prove that God's will is good and perfect and pleasing. It's not uncommon, of course, for we human beings, being confused as we are, to say, God, I want to know your will, and I want your will to be good and pleasant and pleasing, and I want to have a real good time, and I want it to be your will, God. And he says, well, all right, all you need to do then is, number one, engage in true worship. Number two, don't be conformed. Number three, be transformed. Then you will experimentally prove that God's will is good and perfect and acceptable. You see, God's will can be summed up in this. God's will is that I live a yielded life. God's will is that I live a non-conformed life. God's will is that I live a transformed life. And then God's will is that I will live a thoroughly satisfied life. For I'll discover with a yielded life, a non-conformed life, a transformed life, that God is finding it relatively easy to move me into the place of his choosing. And that's where I want to be. There's nowhere else I want to be than where he wants me to be. And I discovered it is good and perfect and pleasing. I'm done with saying, well, I'll be this, but I won't be that. I'm through saying, I'll go here, but I won't go there. I'm through saying, I will bless you, God, if you do this, but I'll be mad at you if you don't do it. I'm through with all that. I'm living the yielded, non-conformed, transformed life. And I'm proving as I go through the day-to-day exegesis of life. Some are good and some are bad. Some are glorious and some are testing. Some are pleasant and some are decidedly unpleasant. But what I discover in all of it is in the yielded, non-conformed, transformed life, there's that inner sense that God is a good God and his will is good and perfect and acceptable. And I'm proving it in my own experience. God, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to live true worship. And I want you to live a non-conformed life. And I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want your life to be full. That's all. I'll do it.
Stuart, we live in the world. It influences us. How does a Christ follower resist the urge to conform to it?
Well, there's no question about it. We live in this world. There's equally no question that it does influence us. But we should look at the influence that this world has on us, and we should ask ourselves some very, very honest, searching questions. When I look at the way this world is operating, is this going to have a negative or a positive influence on me?
The scripture says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is leading to self-destruction. Now, those three expressions need a little explanation. I've only got a few seconds. What it's talking about is if the world says, I should be totally committed to my own possessions and getting more of them, and I should defend fiercely my position and not let anybody intrude in it, and be allowed the freedom to vent my own passions, my passions, my possessions, and my position, then that's basically what this world would teach me. And I look at the way the world is going, I look at the way society is developing, and I can see that an inordinate commitment to freedom to express my own passions, a total commitment to my own possessions, getting them at whatever cost and keeping them at whatever cost and not sharing them at whatever cost, and in addition to that, being absolutely committed to my own position and not caring what happens to anybody else, I would say those three things show how this world will influence me, and I can see what's happening in society, and I say thanks, but no thanks. There's a better way to go.
Stuart, if the church in America is so off track in what God has called us to do, how do we begin to get back on track and resist being pressed into the mold of the current age?
Well, I think it's going a little bit too far to say the church in America is so off track in what God has called us to do. The church is made up of fallible human beings. It's made up in its entirety of sinners, so we shouldn't expect too much. But on the other hand, these sinners are in process of sanctification, and we are called to be living lives that are holy and committed to the Lord. So we shouldn't settle for too little. And it's in that area that we operate. On the one hand, we should not expect too much. On the other hand, we should not settle for too little. And I think what we need to do realistically is say, you know, what is the purpose of the church of which I'm a part? What does God say about the church? And how are we seeking to fulfill his calling for us?
Understanding God's will for our lives can be a struggle. Maybe his will isn't what you expected, or maybe you just can't see how all the pieces fit together. That's why we want to help you discover God's plan by sending you God's Will for My Life. This eye-opening Bible teaching will help you know who God wants you to be and what he wants you to do. God's Will for My Life is our thanks for your donation to keep telling the truth on air and online, helping you and others experience life in Christ. So call now to get your copy of God's Will for My Life, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. We're so glad you've joined us today on Telling the Truth. We hope you'll come back again to hear more scriptural truth from God's Word. Listen in and experience life next time on Telling the Truth.